Welcome back. You're in the huddle. What about 0.3 the game? Moving along on a Thursday. Back in the saddle. My vacation's over. But first, guys, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, former NFL linebacker, spent more than a decade in the NFL with the Bengals, the Bills, the 49ers, the Chargers, the Eagles, former All-Pro and Pro Bowler, now a host on the Believe Podcast Network. It's Takeo Spikes. How you doing, my friend?
Man, I am doing well. What about you? How are you?
We're doing well up here. We're getting through everything. And matter of fact, let me ask you, start with that. NFL, they're going to try to play through a pandemic, try to play through coronavirus. Your thoughts on that? How smart is it? Would you have been playing if it was at the end of your career, or would you have opted out?
Honestly, I think it just depends on, you know, what are you coming back home to? Meaning, all right, I can go to the facility, but when I'm coming back home, do you have a family? Or are you a single guy? For me, I was a single guy. I have a daughter, but my daughter used to come see me at times throughout the season, and I'll obviously see more time within the off season. But I would probably play just because I didn't have anybody to come home to on a consistent basis. And that's the predicament, and that's the sentiments that I hear from a lot of guys who are in it. They, you know, I know some guys who are just single guys, and, you know, they casually like to see other people. And, you know, that's okay. That's part of life. But it's not okay when you have guys who are, I would like to say, more in a stable situation, and they have a family, they have a wife, they have kids. And so you don't want to be putting those guys at risk just because you're single and you don't have anybody to come to. Now you're taking more liberties, and you're on the same plan like Lou Williams.
Yeah,
from the Clippers.
Sakia, we cover the Patriots up here. We've seen six players opt out already, and some of it is the family stuff. But how do your priorities change as you become a veteran? I mean, a lot of the Patriots have already won rings, and they've already been paid. I have to imagine that makes it easier to opt out.
Well, number one, you have to look at it like this. It's the law of economics. The more money you make, the more money you spend, period. Then number two, you look at it from a family stability tie. I mentioned that earlier. Am I risking my family that I'm coming back home to? And then you have to look at the underlying conditions, whether or not if maybe one of your kids is going through something, or if your wife is going through something to where you can't be in a position to where you're putting them at risk. And so, you know, when I look at it overall, like, it's a tough situation. Now, would I have played knowing that? I would, just because I don't have anybody who I'm coming home to. But guys have to also understand, when the more money you make, the more money that you spend, you also have to take into account that, like, this is your livelihood. And as much as we would like and hope for people to be able to save the right amount of money and don't have to live from check to check, that's not the reality. A lot of people do. And so that's the reason why I probably would say, why you see so many guys who are still actually playing. Yeah. And it's kind of making, I wouldn't say it's making the guys kind of looking sideways at the people who are opting out, but at least, you know, I would like to think the guys that I do see who are opting out, they're looking at it like, man, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like I know I may get a small percentage of my paycheck if I don't play, but I'm still good, and I know I'm not putting my family at risk, and I'll wait until a vaccination is already out. So I see it from both perspectives.
All right, let's say you're on the team, you're playing, you see six of your teammates, like the Patriots, six of them opt out. Are you going to say to yourself, well, it's going to be one bad year? I mean, you know it's going to be a bad year going in sometimes, don't you? You've played on some bad teams. I mean, there had to be years like, it's just not going to be our way. The coach has got to know it's going to be a bad year.
No, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've played on bad teams, but you could not have put enough money in front of my face to convince me that it was going to be a bad year. Mm-hmm. Either you're an optimistic person or pessimistic. I was always that dude who was optimistic, not so much of me depending on what everybody else was going to do, but I felt like I had that much control and power to know if I train my ass off, it's going to pay off, and it's going to be infectious towards everybody else. And so that was kind of like my mindset, my theory going behind it.
former Pro Bowler Tekeo Spikes with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Played for five teams, now a host on the Believe Podcast Network. Tekeo, we're going to miss Tom Brady up here. I got to ask you, what was it like playing against Tom Brady, especially your time in Buffalo where you saw him twice a year?
It was fun from the aspect of knowing you're going up against the best and knowing everybody was going to be looking at you going up against the best. And if you did anything well, people would take that as a blueprint and say, you know what, this is where they had success, and this is the player who did it. So I've had several good games against the Patriots, and but when you look at Tom Brady, it was amazing, man. It was his ability to be able to make adjustments in the game, not at halftime now. I mean, just from a simple aspect of, okay, from series to series. And you can tell they had a game plan, and you can see when they switched the entire game plan when it didn't work. So that's what made it so fun. And it really, if you're a player who is in tune, aware, you really get the opportunity to see, like, just as well how life goes. You have to be able to adjust. The game of football teaches you, especially playing against Tom Brady, you have to be able to adjust if you want to be known as one of the most successful players in the league. And I thought that was the biggest challenge that I had and that any other team will have when you play against the Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Oh, you're bumming me out. I thought you'd be in the locker room getting ready for the game going, we're taken down, pretty boy. He's got no chance. He should spend more time on a yacht instead of football. He should retire early. I thought you would be all smack-talking before the game.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not saying you give them, I mean, you respect what they've done from previous week to week. But, I mean, the goal is the same. I'm still going to go out and try to take your head off. I don't care what you do or what you've done. Like, that's going to stay consistent in my book.
When you played for Buffalo, Tekeo, I'm pretty sure you had a strip sack, forced fumble, and it got returned for a touchdown off Brady by London Fletcher. Was that the most favorite hit of your career?
No, I want to say probably one of the favorite hits is back in 03. When New England came to Buffalo and we picked up Lawyer Malloy 3 days before the game.
Okay.
And Lawyer started. And I think Troy Brown came across the middle and they ran this play in previous years. And it was the first game in a year, so I was like, what are the chances? And they actually ran this play. Troy Brown came across and I nailed it. I'm talking about completely separated the ball away from the guy. And it was one of those hits to where, like, not this year, New England.
Didn't you guys win that game like 36-0 or something?
Yeah, we won it 31-0. that's the same game.
And oh, so, man.
Like, when we think about hits and all of that, that definitely goes down as one of my better hits.
Getting stuff on the text line. This one comes from a William Belichick. Says, hey, you went to Auburn. Who should we start, Cam or Stidham? What would you say to that if the coach asked you?
Well, you can't go wrong with neither one because both are War Eagles. I can tell you that. Nah, but when I look at it, I think Cam definitely comes in now that he's healthy. He comes in with just a proven status. And the thing, what I like about the marriage of Cam Newton and the Patriots is that you can appreciate as a player when your coach can break down your opposing teams and say, look, these are the three ways that we're going to attack them. And it simplifies everything. So now I can make a concerted effort as far as my focus and my attention on certain things and certain ways that we're going to do it. And now I can kind of put away the rest of the playbook. And I have certain plays that I know that I can go in certain situations that we can dominate in. And I think that is going to be the main thing that Cam Newton really benefits off of more than anything, is having strategically not just a head coach, but all the way down to his position coach of how his perspective needs to look at things moving forward.
Tekeo, as a linebacker, would you rather get a sack on a quarterback or an interception?
Oh, interception. Hands down.
Why?
the reason why, when you talk about interceptions, is see, I wasn't a guy. I wasn't paid to sack. I got to the quarterback then 30 times in my career. But when you look at it, I think what really separates players is when you're able to get those interceptions. And so, you know, for me, finishing up, I think 20, had 20 interceptions. So when I finish up, I think at the end of the day, I like to believe a lot of people can go out there and make tackles, but everybody can't go out there and turn that football over, whether or not if it's be sacks or interceptions. And that's one of the things that I pride myself off of, and that's how you become a household name.
Why do I get the feeling that if they called you today, you're getting back in uniform? You've been gone a while.
But I don't know how long I'll be able to last, though. I can tell you that I go and give you the best damn series you ever had. Best 3-4 plays would be the best thing you've seen.
Takiyah, you got to play against Brady. You got to play against Mike Vick. You got to play against a lot of great quarterbacks. I know you just said you weren't known as much for getting after the quarterback, but who's the quarterback you wanted to hit you never got a chance to?
Peyton Manning. Peyton was tough because he got the ball out so quick.
Right.
And when you get the ball out so quick like that, it's frustrating. Because you can beat your guy maybe five times straight, 4 out of 5 times. But just the simple fact that Peyton Manning would let the ball go so fast, 3 seconds and it's out, like, that was heartbreaking to me. Like, it was like you come back to the sideline and you having a whole conversation with the DC, letting him know, man, I'm getting there. Just keep calling it. Keep doing it. I would say Peyton Manning.
I love it. Tell us about the podcast.
Yeah, man, we on the Believe Network, and the Behind the Mask podcast stemmed off of my photography book, coffee table book, that I made 2017, a couple of years ago. And one of the things that I would like to say is, don't come to the BTM podcast if you're looking for the typical, hey, he went 10 for 20, he had 10 tackles. That's the obvious. When we go behind the mask, we like to talk about conversations that typically don't make it on TV, that don't make it on general radio. We talk about, just to give you a prime example, we had Malcolm Jenkins on, and we talked about some of his things, how he felt about Deshaun Jackson's anti-Semitic comments towards the Jewish population, which I felt like was wrong. We also talked about, on another episode, we talked about Drew Brees. What is it going to be like? Drew Brees, not the failure to acknowledge the African-American struggle and what we're going through in this climate now. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, I'm not going to disrespect the flag because my grandfather served. Well, Drew, you're not acknowledging the fact that, hey, guess what? He didn't serve by himself. And so those are the tough conversations that we have. Obviously, it's going to be sports-driven, but we talk about a lot of things, entertainment, health disparities, relevant topics that deal with the game today, but also real topics to where people are like, I wonder what he's really saying when that camera is not on him. That's what we do at the Behind the Mask podcast.
You can find it
on all social media channels, platforms, at the BTM podcast, and also the visual aid to it, which is much more entertaining when you can tune in to us on YouTube as well, the BTM podcast.
Check him out. The KO Spikes, of course, host on the Believe Podcast Network. Thanks a lot for stopping on by. We're certainly going to have to do it again.
All right, guys. Sounds good.